Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Adjacent.
You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
What, you okay?
No, I'm good. I just finished like a run and came here, so.
Well, thank you.
Just settling down.
How far did you run?
I just did 2 miles because it's one of those days I got to fit the workout in, do the pod, radio after this, pack, head to the airport.
Back to New York. You're in New York like every week, man.
Yeah. Either there or wherever we're doing Friday Night Baseball, we're on a location. So it's great for my United Miles and Marriott points. Great for that.
I just signed up to be a Hilton's Honor member. Get my first 40 points.
Come on. Wow.
I'm very surprised.
I'm happy for you. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for you because this is growth, Tone. Like, this is like when we started the pie, you were, hey, man, as long as I can get to like Milwaukee, I'm cool. I don't really need to get anywhere. But when you sign up for a hotel rewards program, that means you're intending to at least go and spend a couple nights somewhere.
I had to do it in order to get the friends and family discount that my brother has. So.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's all right.
Both of his brothers work in the hospitality industry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are the benefits. Yep.
Got it.
But okay. One of your brothers works for Marriott, doesn't he?
One works for the Drake. The other one used to work for the Marriott. He got a promotion somewhere else. I think Hilton Garden. Something like that.
I thought you were choosing like between your two brothers competing hotel chains.
No.
That brings me to something. Jason, it is more uncommon for writers, sports writers, baseball especially, to be anything other than Marriott rewards member. What made you choose Hilton?
It was so long ago that at this point I don't remember. And you're right. I mean, yeah, it's very rare that anyone is anything but Marriott in our business. But the one thing that is not rare is once you get tied into a hotel loyalty program, airline,
gotta stay,
or rental car, you're never leaving hardly.
Ever.
That's how they get you.
Ever.
That's how they get you. And
but go ahead.
No, I was gonna just talk about my recent hotel experience. It was for a wedding and the hotel wasn't like a family hotel, if you understand me.
No,
it
I don't.
It felt like
hourly rentals or what are you talking about?
Where did you go first off?
Where did you go?
It was like the Double Tree Naperville.
You needed a hotel to go to Naperville?
Yeah. I mean, with the rehearsal dinner being Thursday night.
And quick then, turnaround time. I get it.
The turnaround time and being in the wedding, trying to go back to my house, then trying to get back to Naperville by, 9 a.m. Like, that just wasn't feasible.
In fairness to Tone, that makes perfect sense. Because, like, when we did his, like, if I lived, like, where I live now, I would have like, all right, maybe I go stay with my parents so I don't have to like go from my house to the church for the rehearsal, back home, and then get to the church by what it was like 2:30 Tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Staying at your parents is one thing. Getting a hotel room for a place that's half an hour away, maybe?
When your wife is in the wife is in the wedding and they're getting hair and makeup done and
who all stayed at the hotel?
Well, their whole family, because they were
from your house. From your house, who stayed at the hotel from your family?
Me, my wife, and Anaya.
Really? All three? Okay. Yeah. All right. Because I was investigating whether maybe you did this for one quiet night of sleep on your own.
Oh, no.
Since it was half hour away.
I had to come with. So, but yeah, the hotel, like when we walked down, I'm like, this doesn't feel family friendly. And it was in like a business district. So it was just like a lot of executives. There was like open bar situation. I'm like, okay. And you get to the room, there's no fridge or microwave.
So, all right.
And hold on. And I was like, this is where business people stay. This is where high-end drug deals go down. And this is where people go cheat on their spouses. Because there are no amenities in these rooms.
It sounds like a normal hotel.
That's what I'm saying. Tone, you just ain't been nowhere.
I don't like that.
Say the name of the hotel so Russ and I have a point of reference. We'll bleep it out if we have to.
Doubletree?
Hey, Tony.
Come on.
That's a normal hotel. What are you talking about?
I don't like it. I need a fridge.
What are you expecting?
You know how many hotels don't have a fridge, bro?
That's wild to me.
This ain't your house.
Yeah, what are you doing?
What if I need to warm up my food? I got to go to the lobby.
You know how many hotels don't have a microwave?
That's crazy. Why would they do that?
Because you would just eat at a restaurant. Most hotels are for business travel anyway.
You got to travel more, Tom.
If I made a hotel, people would have microwaves and fridges.
Then go stay at the Residence Inn. They have all that. They got a little stove. They have a microwave, full fridge.
Russ, when he started this out and he said we stayed at a hotel and it was not family friendly.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's staying at some like shady.
Yeah, he sounds like hotel. He's at some hedonism resort or whatever.
And
he's
honestly lit.
He's at a Doubletree in the suburbs. And
he's at a regular ass standard hotel. It's not some hourly thing where they got the vibrating bed.
He's making it sound like there's heart shaped hot tubs here. It's just the Doubletree. It's just a normal chain hotel in the suburbs.
Don't like it.
What? How is it not family friendly?
Because people need fridges. People need microwaves.
It sounds like you are not hotel friendly.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm blaming you, Tom. Gaslighting.
What? And then they told me, I called. I was like, hey, is there any fridges or microwaves in these rooms? They was like, no. I was like, okay. Is there an upgraded suite situation that we can? It's like there are no microwaves or fridges in the entire hotel. I'm like, what kind of hotel is this? The entire hotel? He's like, well, you can, because we travel, we still have formula bottles and breast milk bottles, and that stuff needs to be stored. And they're like, oh, well, you can put it in the community lobby fridge and put your room number on. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Get out of here.
It's not ideal. It is hard. It is difficult to travel and stay at a hotel with a baby, a 6-month-old baby.
I'm still blaming Tone. I usually give him that out, but Tone, you should probably do the research on your hotel where you're like, hey, is That's there fair. A refrigerator in your room? Is there a microwave?
But the research was calling ahead of time. And then we made plans to kind of fix everything, but still, it was just kind of off-putting. I've never had that, and I probably need to travel more, but that was still very, you're gonna get, if I had never been in a hotel where there wasn't at least a small fridge and a small microwave, you can get how what is this, this is just for sleeps, and then you leave.
I feel like you think that the microwave and fridge is standard, and what Jason and I as regular travelers are telling you is that it's
obviously not.
Yeah, it's just hit and miss. You don't know if it'll have it or not.
The fridge more so than not is likely going to be in there, but it's not a guarantee all the time.
If it was just a fridge, I would have been a mini fridge. I would have been like, all right, cool. I'd but not to have either is kind of
the was, fridge was very is probably 80-20. 80% of the time there's gonna be a fridge tucked away. It's not gonna look like a fridge. It'll kind of have the little door thing. Microwaves, you are rarely going to find that outside of a extended stay type of situation. Residence in
Elmwood Suites.
Right.
Yeah. Hotel fridges, by the way, are maddening. And I actually like to use it. If I'm going to be somewhere for more than a couple of days, I like to go to a grocery store, wherever that is, and get some stuff that I want and stuff to eat and drink and put it in the fridge. But I feel like every hotel fridge, the settings are either warmer than it is outside or dead ice cold. Like if you put a bag of baby carrots in there, they're either going to come out like they've been microwaved or they're going to come out in a solid block of ice.
Are you trying to tell us something? Don't use this. We just put it in here to make us look better.
To make these aren't happy.
Yeah, right. I was trying to get it just right. I was out in California. This was years ago for a week. I think the Dolphins were playing back-to-back West Coast games. So everyone was just, including the team, just staying out there for a week and a half. And I had gotten some cereal and milk at the local Vons or Whole Foods or whatever. And you put it in there and it's frozen solid when I take it out the next day. I'm like, okay, this is worthless. So I throw that out. I go get another carton of milk at the grocery store, put that in there, change the setting, try to get it right. I go to pull that out the next day. It's like chunky. It's like pouring out, you know, sour cream. But I think you need to change your description of this is not a family friendly hotel.
Yeah, I agree with him. Not family
friendly. Dude, this is just a hotel.
Like what in your mind?
It was very
like,
misleading when you started out.
Very much so. What is a family friend? Like, because there are bars everywhere. Like, it's kind of standard at hotels.
Yeah, no, it was that. It was probably specifically just the no fridge, no microwave. Because like, if it's family friendly, if I have a family I'm bringing to this hotel, we're probably going to eat out and bring it back to the hotel most likely, which means I probably would need to warm up the food. But now there we have to wait in line at the microwave in the lobby where everybody's at instead of the comforts of our home, our nice little room.
That does feel like you're in a dorm room or something. There's exactly. A little microwave.
Yes.
It's very, very difficult, and I would say not recommended if possible to avoid traveling, staying at a hotel with a baby. And I've done that many times when my kids were younger. And the first time I did it was Grace was under a year old, and we were staying in Jacksonville, Florida, because I was covering University of Florida football, and they were playing Georgia the next day. And I immediately realized what a mistake it was. Because if you have them in the portable crib in your room, in the main part of the room with you, they're not going to go to sleep. And so from then on, it's like, okay, well, how do we fix this? So I'm not up till 3 a.m. on a work night. And we started doing what you will need to do now, Tony, in terms of looking at these pictures of rooms to see if they have fridges and microwaves. We started every time we'd book a hotel, we'd pull up pictures of it and see, is the bathroom big enough to hold a crib, a portable crib? So that way, or is the closet big enough to put open up a portable crib so that the baby can have her own room and will actually go to sleep?
A closet?
If it's a big enough closet, yeah. If it's a nice enough hotel,
and you close the door?
If there was room, there's usually not. I remember one time we went to Jamaica and we kind of used the closet and had some hangers to kind of put a sheet up to make it sort of its own room. You know, took a bed sheet and kind of draped it like a partition. And that worked.
Interesting.
You have to get creative. Yeah, you have to get creative. You can't get creative trying to microwave something that doesn't work. You have to have an actual microwave.
Iron. Get some tinfoil from the store and an iron.
Hold on now. Wait a minute.
Make yourself a grilled cheese.
Yeah. Use the coffee maker.
Don't use those. I've heard from people you shouldn't use the hotel coffee makers for things because really? People do wild stuff. But other than what? That, yeah.
What I don't kind of get, wild, I don't wanna, wild stuff would you even
I don't
do?
Wanna, I don't want to get into it.
I mean, I kind of want to get into it.
Yeah, I do because I don't know what you mean.
I've heard that, one, it's hard to clean them. And staffs don't often, that's not the first thing they're thinking of when they clean. They're going to clean the bed and the bathroom.
I agree.
Not the coffee maker. Mm-hmm. Also, you should just go get coffee when you're in hotels. Like most hotels are going to have a little Starbucks downstairs or a Starbucks or Dunkin' within walking distance. You should just do that.
I do. This is not a concern for me. I don't remember the last time I used
with the coffee maker or something.
I don't remember the last time I used the coffee maker in the room, and I probably wouldn't. I'd probably do all the things you just said, but I want to know what's going on with coffee makers.
I've just heard people do wild things with like the water reserve part. Yeah.
Well, like what?
Like I've heard.
Why do you so badly not want to tell us this?
Because it's just like, I don't think it's germane necessarily, because I don't know how many people are using the coffee maker, but I just wanted to
they need to be warned
out there. Well, like I had heard that people sometimes. No, it's just like I've heard people like put their undergarments. I don't know why they would do that, but they use like the coffee maker for that. There you go.
Okay. It's just a way to make it. It's just like their own. I don't know if they think
that's a way to clean them or
personal
whatever.
Joke on the next person to stay there.
Right. Okay. Right. Like usually nothing concerns me in hotels or I don't think about it, but like in my head, I'm like never using the coffee maker.
Hmm. Wow.
That's about it. Other than that, rock out.
Okay. All right. Tony Gill and his occasional travels. This is great. This is I want you to go more places and stay in more hotels and report back to us, Tone.
Family friendly hotel, Tone.
Huh?
What is in your mind the most family friendly hotel? Just as if you have a hotel, if you have a fridge and microwave, you're family friendly.
Fridge, microwave, TV,
crib available. Is there a playground? Is it free breakfast? I'm sure he's thinking.
Yeah, free breakfast. Maybe some complimentary, not even like a full breakfast, just maybe some, what's that word? Complimentary?
Continental.
Continental.
Mm-hmm. That's where it's like the coffee. Bagels.
Yeah, bagels.
Cereal, fruit, maybe juice.
Yeah. You know?
Hard-boiled eggs, always in the continental breakfast.
Yeah.
There's also, here's another thing. If this was a businessy hotel, right? I don't know what was going on in that area, some hockey or baseball tournament, but there were children just running and screaming.
Yeah, that's you and your family, Tom.
Oh, no, it was not of the community.
Soon, that's going to be you.
I was like, I almost went out there, you know, just really? with the t-shirt and the chains on and just the shorts. And I'm like,
it is something that it happened to me the last time I was in a hotel last week where kids were doing kid things. And I'm like, you know, I can see how people get annoyed with this.
I never ran and screamed like, in the hallway.
It's one thing where, you know, kids are having a good time, but it was like active yelling and screaming at an hour where that shouldn't be taking place.
Yeah.
Like,
it's such a big event when you're a kid, though, to stay at a hotel.
Get it, but cool, but get your ass in that room. If it's like 10, 15, 10, 30, you know what? Do your
thing. And these weren't small children.
That'd be my thing. It's like 12 and 13.
Yeah, 12,
I'll whip
13.
Y'all ass.
Yeah. Like you might have to go 30.
If it was
fast.
Like the shrills of like 7, 8-year-olds who are just like you're saying, Jason, really excited to be in a hotel because they don't do that before, it's fine. But like when you're 12, 13, you are aware that other people stay here that aren't mm-hmm. with your group. And at 2 a.m., you got to shut your ass up.
I think you guys forget what it was like to be 15 or 16 years old.
No, I think you forget that we weren't allowed to just yell and scream in hotels.
Well, the belt was coming out, you understand?
Right. We're forgetting that ass is getting whooped if we start yelling and screaming and running up and down the halls at 2 o'clock in the morning.
It don't stop just because you're on vacation.
Like, kids...
Bleep that not tone. Nearly enough.
Tone, unless you're staying at a resort or a, you know, a JW Marriott or a
if I'm in the JW and y'all scream, I'm
Waldorf, Conrad, those places, like there's gonna be kids at any of these hotels that are not resorts in the first place are going to be predominantly for people that are on business travel or you have school trips or sports team. Travel league, things like that. Like nobody's going on vacation at the DoubleTree in Naperville, Illinois. Like that is there for people. That is, I got to think 95% of their business is people traveling for business, for work.
Whatever the case may be, children 12, 13 and up should not be playing in the hallways. Go in your room if you want to play. They're not playing in the hallways. People got things and sleep to catch up on. That's all I'm saying.
So you want a hotel that has a big sign of the rules that says no noise making and running around and having fun for kids. And that to you would be a family friendly hotel.
Yeah, because then you can do all your family stuff in the room. You know? Okay.
We got threatened to get kicked out of a hotel once in Bourbonnais, Illinois.
Whoa.
And it was a Hampton Inn, which I probably would describe as a more family centered or oriented hotel because they have the free breakfast. It's not that nice. Mm-hmm. It's just fine. It's just very basic.
They're, fine.
They're clean. They do the job. Like, yeah, it's good. But I was down there to cover Bears training camp. And so every hotel down there is sold out during that time. I don't know what those hotels do the other 50 weeks of the year or now when the Bears
these days, yeah,
down there anymore.
Not well.
But apparently a woman in the room below us had called multiple times to complain about my kids running around in the room, about their footsteps. She was hearing it through the ceiling and it was bothering her. And my kids have never even really been that wild. And they weren't being that wild that week. So I don't know what to do. The front desk is calling me and saying, hey, you know, we're getting a lot of complaints. And if we get another one, you know, we're kicking you out and you still have to pay for everything and all that. And I'm like, how am I supposed to get my kids to not make noise when they walk across the room? They're not up here, you know, doing some kind of dance routine or something. They're not jumping on the beds. They're just living their life. I'm like, and I mean, how does that lady even know it's coming from our room? Or,
well, she's, you know, above you. They know what room's above her room.
It could be from the room next to you, I guess, or something. I don't know. But I'm like, I'm telling you, we're not doing anything wild in here. And this person's telling you we are. Like, how do you decide what's what? How do you decide what the truth is? And this woman at the front desk was a nightmare. And she's like, well, you know, she stays here a lot. She's a regular, so we're going to take her word for it, basically. And I'm like, we're done. I'm not.
I would have checked out that day.
I'm not staying. I did. Yeah. I'm not staying here another minute. You've gone rogue. You clearly have let the power of being the assistant weekend manager at the desk go to your head. I've been staying at Hilton's for 15 years. I'm just going to call them. We're going to work all this out. We're going to be out of here as soon as I get off the phone with them. And we're not going to be paying for the full stay. I can promise you that. We're paying for the nights we were here. And then we're going to a different hotel tonight. And sure enough, that is what eventually happened. It took like 6 months for me to get a check from Hilton reimbursing for what the hotel charged. But
it's on principle.
But it did come. Yeah. I wanted to frame that check for $280 or whatever it was. I wish I still had it. Welcome to Sports Adjacent. I'm Jason Leisure with my co-host, Russ Dorsey.
Hello.
Russ Dorsey has already run 2 miles, and we're recording this in the morning. Like, morning Russ feels like a different person than the Russ that I fell in love with.
Oh, the late riser.
Yeah.
Late sleeper. Yeah. Now this guy, there's too much to do to sleep in. Like, I'm one of those, if I wake up at anything later than 9 o'clock, the day damn near over. That guy now.
Look at that. I would have been
disgusted by this guy three.
Right. I think when I met you, that time was 1 p.m.
Yeah.
If I'm not up by 1 p.m., I mean.
Right. Yeah. No. Back in the day when we started the pod, I was probably getting up average during baseball season 11.
Yeah.
Getting
a night job,
getting moving, getting to the gym by 12:30, coming back, shower, change to the ballpark. Now I'm up at 7:30, 7:45. I get up, I go walk to Dunkin', get an iced coffee, come back, check some emails, go to QuickBooks, check all my business info. Then once everything's settled, I go to work out 90 minutes max. You don't need more than that. All that junk volume that people are doing, don't need that. 90 good minutes. Come back, eat a little breakfast, get myself together, meetings, whatnot. Then we see what the rest of the day has in store. But most of the day that I have that is needed to be done is done by 2 p.m.
That's probably good. Do you think you'd ever want to be one of those people, like I think Mark Wahlberg does this, where they have their entire day regimented and they're like that strict about their, they're up at 3 a.m. and they're working out and everything is about all of that. Like, do you think you'd want that?
I have a loose version. I have a loose version of that. Now, the people who, I wake up, you know, Kobe was always, I wake up at 3:30. Like, I don't necessarily think that's healthy for regular people. It's really not. Like, you really need seven, you know? But my day, if you come to my house and on my refrigerator, I have a whiteboard. And every day, usually the night before, I'll write out what I have. Because I'm very big into when you write things out and you have things written down, you're more, like, I'm at the point where I need to remember things and I need to see, because I'm going to pass the refrigerator. What do I have? All right. Wake up. Done. Did that. Coffee. Gym. Phone call. Pod. Radio. TV. Meeting with Jason and Lawrence for dinner. Done. Like, that's my day. They're like, hey, call GMX at this time.
Yeah.
Finish writing this story for 2 hours. Like, it has to be like that at this point for me.
And you found it helpful?
Yeah, just because it's like life is too busy at this point in time. I would be doing myself a disservice if I wasn't didn't schedule things like that.
Okay. We also have the littest producer in the game, Tony Gill.
Hello.
He's back. And Tony Gill, in his recent trip to a DoubleTree hotel in the suburbs, or as he refers to it, hedonism, is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. You can go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA. That's our link for our listeners. And they've got a Mother's Day sale going on this week. You're late. By the time you hear this, you're late. You're too late to do it for
Mother's Day. You didn't get your mama everything.
For Mother's Day.
She hates you now.
But I always tell people this. Moms are very forgiving. Moms will give you some margin. And if you say, hey, mom, I ordered you some nice sheets. I ordered you the sheet set from Sheets and Giggles on Friday. You know, when this episode comes out, it's not here in time. Sorry, but you will be seeing it in the next couple of days and you're going to love it. I think that works still. I think your mom's going to be happy with that. You can take advantage of their Mother's Day sale and get an extra savings if you use our link, sheetsgiggles.com/SA. Sports Jason is also brought to you by BetMGM. You can go to BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app and get this offer. Your first bet with them gets paid back in free future betting credits up to $1,500 if you don't win. Just use promo code ADJACENT1000. You can bet on anything that's going on right now, NBA, NHL, baseball, and get that offer with our promo code ADJACENT1000. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Russ, I was talking to a friend yesterday, and I continue to be fascinated by the world of online dating. And it's not something that I would do because I'm married and it's not my arena. Right. I don't know how to explain this because the information has no use to me whatsoever. But it's so interesting to me, this way of dating, because I was out of the game before this started, before this was prevalent. There were websites and stuff back then, but...
But you now were a loser back then if you did online dating. Where
it was weird.
Yeah.
It was weird. Now it seems like the sanest, most normal way to do it.
Very much so.
So I was talking to someone who is single and does that. And he was saying that one of his biggest frustrations is when you set to meet one of these women in person and they show up and they don't look like their profile picture.
Catfishing.
It's not fake. It's not a fake photo.
No, catfishing isn't always you're a dude I've been talking to the whole time. Sometimes it's you filter yourself and contour yourself and X, Y, Z. And then it's just like, ah,
yeah,
not who I thought I was going to meet.
And this person was telling me that they were able, they immediately, it was not what they were expecting. It was not what he expected. He was not pleased. And he was able to get, he was able to complete this date in under an hour. And he was happy about that. Because he felt like he got tricked. He felt like, you know, that was more polite than just turning around and walking away when he saw that he had been fooled.
Hold on. Was he like Michael Scott when Michael Scott got set up for a date and he was supposed to be looking for a brunette lady and he saw a blonde and was like, ah, that's it. Was it like that?
Yes. That's a great scene. He sees this blonde woman walking by and he goes, well, I give her a 10 for looks and a 2 for describing herself. Russ, what this got me thinking, though, is I understand if you're on a dating app or really any, if you're on, you know, Instagram even or something like that, I understand wanting to put the best possible picture of yourself out there. Mm-hmm. However, on the other hand, I think the last thing I would want at the start of a date would be the other person's first reaction, first thought to be disappointed, to be like, oh, you don't look quite as good. I would rather the opposite. Person. Yes. I would rather use kind of a schlubby picture of me, you know, under promise and then over deliver. Then I show up and you're like, oh, you're much more good looking than I
feel you. But that thought process doesn't work. Like, I understand why you would say that. But in online dating, that game plan doesn't work.
Well, like this happens
because then people are just going to think you're ugly and then they're not going to match with you.
Not ugly, but I mean, at most, a very accurate picture of me.
I don't think that's what people are going for these days.
If not, like, you know, it even better would be like a slightly less good picture of me.
Like, I hate to feel not sympathetic to your friend because I don't necessarily have that issue, but I also use a different platform for online dating than most people use.
Farmers Only or what? What do you?
It's called Raya.
I have never heard of it. How many are there?
It's for famous people.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So Raya is like Bumble for, they would always say like celebrities and famous people. But yeah, like it's like lawyers, it's doctors, it's nurses, it's producers like on TV. There are artists, I wouldn't call it that.
The elite.
Photographers.
What's the working man's dating app that me and Tone would be on? You know, it's just regular
Bumble,
people.
Hinge, okay. Tinder still. But yeah, like, so because of that, like all those people are in their fields. They look good. And like the first day I was on there, I was in Boston and Allie Raisman, gold medalist.
Olympic
the gymnast was on there. The lady that played Nurse Jackie was on there. Tinashe, the pop singer, was on there. This girl I had been seeing recently said like she lives out in Phoenix area. She said KD's on there. It's a tough day for you when all these people are in the same space. So yeah, that's what I use. But when you hear the names, you're like, oh, I can see, understand why I wouldn't necessarily. But back in the day when I was on the other sites, I would have some of those thoughts of like, all right, is this the person that, or am I meeting your best representation of yourself?
Yeah. Well, where this does apply in my actual life is, you know, you have your profile photo on Twitter. I mean, you have, this is what happens all the time is newspaper writers have their photo in the paper or with their stories online. And then, and you meet them in person and you're like, oh, that photo was from 20 years ago. Like you haven't updated your photo. You don't look any, you look like you've aged 20 years since whatever, like you're a 20 years older version of whatever I saw. And so I feel like I don't want to have an old, outdated or, you know, best possible version photo of myself. And then people meet me and they're like, oh, you're a lot schlubbier than I thought.
Not schlubby. It's a great word. No, I get it. It's like my BBWA.
I want to underpromise and overdeliver. I think that's the way to go.
My BBWA card has a picture of me at like 22 because when I got my BBWA card, when I had me apply in 2019, it's like send a headshot so we can send it to the league and all this other stuff to credential you. And the only headshot I had at the time was this one from right after college. I had a baby face, no facial hair, no nothing. But they don't update it, so that's still the one that's on my card. And people see me now with like way more hair, way more a full beard and all this stuff, and they're like, who is this child on your— I'm like, that's me. So yeah, I feel you.
I think I should take one now. I think right now I'm kind of, you know, like my facial hair could use a little bit of a cleanup. I'm a little bit heavier than I would want to be. Perfect time to take the picture. And then by September, when football season starts, I'll theoretically be in better shape and cleaned up and everything. And people are, oh, you look even better than that. That's a good start. That's like a good first impression is, oh, you look better than in your photo.
Like, it's good that Eberflus didn't start with the beard because
and, like, and all the cool his, clothes and the
all,
hair,
of,
yeah.
all of his right. boopiness, yes. and all of this other stuff. He just it's attached to beardless Matt Eberflus. But now when the team is about to get good, whoa, this might have been next level coaching marketing where he like, look, we're going to be bad. So I'm going to look as bad as possible, make all my mistakes now. But by the time the team's good, I change the wardrobe. I add the beard. Now it's like you hired a new coach.
I want to talk about the Associated Press story that I read, catching me up on the Drake and Kendrick Lamar beef.
Yes.
But I first want to stay on this because Tony is, I don't even know if a lot of people outside of Chicago know who the Bears coach is. They've not been a nationally relevant team, and Matt Eberflus is not a household name. So if you're listening to this outside of Chicago, to catch you up, Tony's journey with Matt Eberflus has been fascinating to me because, and his recent fixation on Matt Eberflus's makeover is also very interesting to me.
It's a good makeover.
Tony hated him from day one.
Hadn't
literally the day, literally the day they introduced him.
His first five words.
Because they introduced him at a press conference and there was not applause, of course, because this is a press conference. And Matt Eberflus looked around like, hey, no applause. And Tony has been mad at him ever since and wanted him gone ever since. And there's been, you know, a lot of bad football that's happened under his watch. I think he's 10-24. Did not get fired after this last season. Shows up in the offseason. Hair is better. He's slimmed down even a little. He's never in bad shape, but even slimmed down a little. He's got this beard that's new. And he's got cool clothes. His kids are helping him with his clothes, I think. And now Tony loves him.
Yeah, I mean,
Tony also has kind of weird theories of he thinks Matt Eberflus is like in the streets or something.
Isn't he divorced?
No.
He's married?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And she let him go out like that?
Yes,
wait a minute. Hold on, Tony. I don't like that theory because that implies that you should just be a bum for your wife. Like, you don't want to dress up for your queen?
No. It was a snide, snark. Oh, okay. Comment.
Well, now he likes him though, because now he, you know, he's cool floose and he's got, you know, he's got the look and everything. Now Tony's on board.
I tolerate him because Bears are going to the Super Bowl. So if he's the one that's going along for the ride, cool.
Ask women about what beards do for men. They call it man makeup.
Okay.
Because it is an enhancer of appearance. Like, I'm handsome, but I understand for me, when I added a beard, it definitely turned that joint up.
It helped. Yeah.
Me getting tattooed also turned it up.
Okay.
So, like, there are different things you could do as a dude. Remember throwing it back to the Menhancements episode. Mm-hmm. That is a type of Menhancement where you just say, you know what? I've been baby faced. Let me just grow this beard out. Because some people can't do it. and then you just got to go around with the baby face. But for Flus, where he had no facial hair and said, I'm going to let the beard rock, and he came back, and nobody had seen him, and it's like, oh, damn.
It was the grand Flus, reveal.
Like, yeah. Flus is kind of handsome. Like, he went from being like, ugh, this is just your average, like, schlubby,
yeah,
use your word, football coach. And then it's like, right. Oh, if you did, like, a top 10 of most handsome NFL coaches, Flus would probably make the list.
He might be on the list. He might be an honorable mention, but he definitely getting named.
He doesn't look like a gym teacher anymore.
No.
No.
I think all three of us have good good beard talent. But I would say, objectively, I think Tony has the best. I think Tony has the it's the fullest, darkest. He gets the contrast. It's always like, it's always nice and straight Tone and lined
has
up.
Tone has a different beard than, like, their beard types, right? Where,
yes.
Tone, yeah, has a Harden-ish type of beard. And I don't, yes, mean it where it's like that, but it's just like, he just gonna let that thing grow. I don't like my beard to get that long.
I don't think mine works that way. Yeah, Tone, yeah, you're right. Tone has a different type of beard. But I think even factoring in different types of beards, I think he's got the most beard talent on our show.
I got some weak spots, you know, like the length. Like, if I were to scale back to, like, Jason's length, you'll see that, oh, I got some missing spots. It's just, for some areas, they grow better than other areas, and it covers up the areas that don't grow as well. So there's no real in-between for me. Either grow this thing out, or it's got to come way down.
What's the longest you've ever had it? Yo. But what is the longest you've ever had it?
That was flagrant.
Jesus. I don't know. Like, when I go in, like, super album mode, and I'm just like, man, I don't got time.
Tone during the pandemic.
Yeah, during the pandemic. And then,
The picture where he had the fur coat on the 90 yeah. day.
Vibes yeah. of a guru.
Where he was yeah. butt ass.
Leather jacket, no shirt.
That
on a motorized scooter.
Yeah, when he's full album mode. Yeah.
Yeah, it can get pretty long.
When's the last time you had it shaved clean?
Oh, that is a good question. It's been a while, and now it's to the point where my baby only know I may do that, one of those viral videos where you just shave it all off and then present yourself to your child and see how they react.
Gonna try to trick your baby.
She only knows me with the beard.
I remember the day my dad did that for the first time. I said, Dad, who took your beard? Like I thought it was like he just velcroed it on mugged? Every day, and like somebody stole his beard from him. Oh man, but it's that shock first time you see your dad. If your dad's just only had a beard and mustache and all that, and all that shit's gone, you're just like, oh my God, who are you? And bring back my dad.
I typically shave once a week. I mean, I'll clean it up in the meantime, but once it gets to about this point, I'm probably about due for a complete shave. Although I don't know how to shave with the regular razor. I've always had an electric one ever since I was a kid. I don't know how to use an actual razor, like, you know, old school, mm-hmm. how you would shave your face. But I will always shave everything but the mustache and then go walk around the house for about 15 minutes just to see how much it appalls everyone.
Do you got a van?
Yes.
Just go peruse the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. I'll shave everything with the mustache and I'll walk out there and be like, okay, who's ready to go to the Jewels?
Who's ready to go to the park?
Yeah, not who wants you. Some candy? That's what you look
not,
like.
Not with you.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, guys. Are you familiar with Greg Doyle?
Yes.
Yes.
Mainly from, or maybe firstly from 10 or so years ago, him getting into it with LeBron after a finals game, asking him why he shrinks.
Whoa.
That was the phrasing.
I was not familiar with one, said Greg Doyle, up until this most recent altercation. I don't know if you can call it altercation, but interaction, I guess is a better word, with WNBA superstar Caitlin Clark upon her first media day, first media appearance for the Indiana Fever. And Greg Doyle did something that kind of cringed out all of sportsdom and just anybody that this video has come across. So here it is.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me and we'll be get along just fine. So, question is.
So, yeah.
He's making that heart sign at her in that clip.
Yeah.
Instead of asking a question.
Caitlin Clark does the heart sign to her family after every game. That's something that she has done throughout her college career. And Greg Doyle did it to her before asking a question to start his question and then proceeded to have this weird, I'm glad you're here, do that to me situation. And now, and that was maybe a month ago. That was a month ago. But the updated news is he has now been suspended by his paper. I think, is it the Indianapolis Star?
Yeah,
Indianapolis Star. So you guys, as journalists, your thoughts about, and we didn't go over this, I don't think, or you guys didn't
know
this when it happened.
I mean, that's my first question is why, help me understand the timeline here a little, because I am not especially dialed into social media. So there will be things that go viral like this clip that I don't
hear about. You're not on Twitter like that.
I did not hear about this until yesterday.
It was a big thing.
At the time, you're saying a month ago.
Happened a month ago, it was.
And why did it take till yesterday for there to be some decision about?
I agree with you.
A, he's suspended for 2 weeks, and B, he's not allowed to cover this team in person this season.
Well, I don't know what the Indianapolis Stars process. I imagine they had an internal review of the situation. I don't know why it takes a month, but neither here nor there. But the WNBA season starts next week. So that obviously plays into it too. So if you have a team in town that has the biggest star in women's basketball, then with the season starting, you probably should have a decision because I imagine he was the guy covering that or would be covering it often. But no, it was monster news. First cover of every website, Twitter, whatever, on ESPN, ticker, and all that stuff. Tony, you wanted to know what our thoughts were on the comments and actions?
Yeah, as journalists, that's what you guys do is you go to sports press conferences, ask pointed questions, get information, write about it. This seemed to have cringed not only the fans and sports enjoyers.
Size up what we just heard, Russ. The clip he played where, what's going on here? Where
I think it's weird.
She's a gigantic star. She's in Indianapolis. This is her introductory press conference. It's a huge deal there. It's like Caleb Williams coming to Chicago. It's a big event, and she's going to be the big star in their town and possibly revolutionize their WNBA team. What happened here?
It's weird.
In your mind, what's your interpretation of what we just listened to?
I think it was somebody who didn't have feel for the situation as a journalist, one, because there was weirdo behavior as a journalist. Because one, I can understand, I've cracked jokes with people that I cover and they crack jokes back and it's cool. But for somebody that you don't know like that.
You don't know that person.
Like that, right? And you trying to ha-ha-hee-hee because you think it's cool. First of all, that's weird. And like, I'll go to the end, then jump back to the beginning of the, well, I'm glad you're here. That's not your job.
Yeah, that's too cheerleader.
Right, to inform. It's very cheerleader-ish. And that's weird, just purely as a reporter. Two, it's weird as hell as a man who is covering women's sports to, one, make the little heart at her when, one, you don't know each other like that. Two, it comes off as awkward and weird.
You're also probably 30-ish or more years older than her.
Right. Three, the I'm glad that you're here. Caitlin didn't say it in the moment, but you, like, it probably was very weird. Like, bro, I don't know who you are. Like, that's weird. And sometimes I think that, oftentimes I think that because men cover men mostly, you never have these interactions between the opposite sex covering them where being mindful of word choice and the things you say and thinking of how the words that I say can make this person feel and not making people feel uncomfortable with me. You don't have to go through all that checklist with men. And because of that, you get stuff like this, where, and we talked about this last night when we were at dinner with Lawrence. Do I think Greg Doyle is some type of predator? I do not. Do I think Greg Doyle should not cover Indiana Fever games? Absolutely. Because he needed to learn a valuable lesson that the how you cover women and women's sports, you need to be mindful of all these different things. You need to be mindful of how the words you say can make that person or the women you cover feel uncomfortable. And I just think ethically as a journalist, he failed. And for all those reasons, this was very awkward, very creeper-ish. You hope somebody learns from something like that. But yeah, that's kind of my view of the situation.
In a perfect world, he learns from this and he is able to repair with Caitlin Clark and they move forward in a healthy professional media team, media athlete relationship. In a perfect world, you know, I don't know if that'll happen. I think everything starts with, you know how they always say, you know, old people will say, and I'm sure Tony agrees with this, like nothing good happens after midnight. Like your first, when you get into some situation that's not good, you know, problem number one was you were somewhere you shouldn't have been. Part of that is in play here because that's premeditated. I want to come in, introduce myself at the introductory press conference, which will be national news, and I want to do the heart symbol at her. That's not spur of the moment. That was planned. That's you doing look at me nonsense that has nothing to do with doing your job well. So you start at the point of you're somewhere you shouldn't be doing, you know, so whatever happens after that is kind of rooted in you have the wrong idea about what you should be doing right now. Maybe he gets caught up in the air after that. Maybe he says something without thinking after that. And you could debate, well, did it just kind of get away from him and he got caught on the spot, a spot of his own making. But the premeditated, I'm going to go in and do something cute and goofy and look at me at her press conference is the first flaw I see in the plan.
I had a couple thoughts. One, here's the interesting thing. Her press conference got compared with how Angel Reese was presented to the media in Chicago, and people trash Chicago and the Sky. And there's different reasons why.
As they should have. But
the Sky, they aren't the best organization. I get that. But when an introductory press conference to the media is different than what the Fever did by combining fanfare and the media at the same time, which would encourage, at least from how it was put together, that we all need to be here to be fans of the Fever and not really do that much journalism. So I think the setting that was put before them wasn't really conducive to actual journalism, to, if in my opinion, to be perfectly honest, where you're combining the fan, the red carpet stuff with Trump people trying to do their jobs as journalists. So that's step number one, in my opinion. I thought the fever failed. Two, for Greg Doyle, I had to do some research, and like Jason mentioned, he has a history of being off-putting as a journalist, if I can put it that way.
Shock jockish.
It was his, the biggest event prior to this that everybody saw was, I think it was in the Heat Mavericks NBA Finals that the Mavericks won, LeBron's first year there. And he went after LeBron, not went after, but he asked him in the post-game press conference about shrinking in big moments. And that was interpreted by LeBron and by most people, I think, as a very disrespectful line of questioning.
Yeah.
And you can ask that kind of question in a respectful way.
Right. And he put out an apology, I think, same day. Greg Doyle wrote something for the Indianapolis Star that says, hey, he's a bit quirky and, you know, he often missteps and stuff like that. So I had a clear understanding of who this guy is. But that's no excuse for what he did. Like, outside of the setting, you are there to do a job. You have to ask questions to write about interesting things about this interesting athlete. Just treat her like another interesting athlete. Like, I don't get, is it just because she's a woman?
That you're talking about the cheerleading aspect?
Right, that he felt comfortable enough to do this. Like, she is a elite athlete. Treat her like an elite athlete. Like, I don't know the, I don't know why. There's so many different interesting angles that Caitlin Clark is bringing to the WNBA. Right? People are talking about this is Jordan-like change that could happen with her. Like, that is interesting that the combination of social media in the rise of the game at the very point that she's about to enter into this league, it could change forever with her. So there's a bunch of different natural, curious sports and societal impact stories that Caitlin Clark is at the center of. And you chose to start. And we don't even know what his question was, right? Like, nobody knows what he actually asked. We only remember that interaction.
Weirdo behavior. Right? Yeah.
There was just no reason for it. You can be the quirky journalist guy, off-putting guy, right? Like, if you want to be that guy, if he, like, the way he asked that question to LeBron, like, that I think there's a space.
He's not the first person to ask.
To do that, right? Yeah. If you want to be that guy, that's cool. But also time, place, and just the overall respect factor. You wouldn't do that to a male athlete.
Are you doing that at Andrew Luck's introductory press?
Right. Are you putting up a right? Like, are you doing some little cute thing with? No, you're not doing that.
Yeah,
you're only doing it because
Caleb Williams.
Right. You're only doing that like if Jason goes to the press conference and does the bear claw like at
hey
Caleb. Right, you know how weird that is.
You think I'm gonna do that with me?
Or he goes and Jason paints his nails and like, yo, Caleb, I do that too.
Yeah, like you're not there to be friends.
Right,
you're there to cover this athlete from an objective point of view. And obviously, right, we all say if the team does well, we do well. So nobody wants their team to act to do bad.
Nobody wants a shitty team to cover.
To cover, but. That's different than being a cheerleader and trying to be friends. Now, do you, the course of you covering an athlete, do you maybe become friends through your journalism? Maybe. But trying to establish a friendship with a team and a person that you're trying to cover as a journalist was, that was weird, man. And he needed to be suspended. I don't know why it took so long. We don't know the processes over there. Mm-hmm. At the Indianapolis Star, but yeah, you can't cover this team, man. Like you can't. You go do the Colts.
Go sit down.
Go do the Pacers. Go sit down. Go cover college. But this, like you missed an opportunity now. Like this was a great opportunity to start at the that at the beginning of something great, what I think is going to be great in her career. And you missed out because you wanted to do something cute. And I think journalists everywhere, now that the WNBA is on the rise and women's sports is on the rise, we need to learn this now. They are professional athletes and need to be covered as such.
Also, these WNBA, the WNBA in general needs to do a better job. Neither did you like kind of a jumping off point for something different. I think there's a absolute explosion that is about to happen.
Yeah.
That has been happening in women's college basketball where those players are now going to the W. And I don't always think the WNBA has been prepared for what they wanted. And you could tell where people want to watch all these games and they don't have a place where people can watch, right? They don't have the platforms for it. And so like they need to do a better job and quickly, because for you to get to where you want to, where you've wanted to be for decades as a league, the moment is right here. Don't jag. Don't mess it up. You know, so all that kind of ties in of, you know, protecting your athletes, things like that. And just for, there's a lot of weirdos that write about sports. Like, let me tell you, hella weirdos.
A lot of, yes. Then they would be weirdos hella. In any line of work.
Yes.
But a lot of the weirdness that you run into is this cheerleadery behavior.
Fanboys and girls.
I am kind of covering the team as a fan, and I kind of want to become what in my mind is friends with the people I cover. Like, when they know when your birthday is, then you're friends. These are not your friends. Like, I have had friendly relationships with professional relationships with a lot of athletes and coaches and executives and agents that I've covered, but we're not actually friends. That's not what this is. Me and, you know, whoever happens to be playing quarterback for the Bears every 3 years, we're not friends. We might have a friendly relationship, but we're not going to be personal friends. And there's a lot of people kind of angling for something like that. It's a little bit of clout chasing.
I agree with that. I do think it's clout chasing. I think there is, and Jason, I'd love to hear your thought on it. Like, I think in doing that over time, you can build that type of relationship with somebody that you cover, whatever, where you might actually consider that person a friend in like a sense. That doesn't mean that you don't still do your job. They have to understand that you still have a job to do. And I do think sometimes when you cross that line is when things get kind of blurry. But yeah, I think when you build relationships with people over time, like the Mike Wilbons of the world, you know, Stephen A's and all these people, and I'm just using those names because those were at the top of mind, but like you could go to any town, any city in this country of people who've been on beats for a long time, columnists for a long time, that have built relationships with people where it's like, oh yeah, 20 years from now, yeah, I go golf with this dude or I go to have dinner with Greg Maddux and blah, blah, blah. That happens. I don't necessarily think that's bad in theory, but I do think for people that let that cloud their coverage.
I think angling for that is a problem.
Yeah.
I think if that happens, that happens. But angling for it is problematic.
Yeah.
I'm glad he didn't get fired. I thought that might have been a step too far, in my opinion. I'm glad that he doesn't cover the beat and the suspension. I don't think he doesn't. I mean, this is his career. This is what he does. He should know better. But, you know, mistakes happen. So I'm glad that he wasn't fired.
I agree. I think it was the right punishment. I do think sometimes we, like, you feel like you have to make the example of somebody. And I thought this might be a case where, like, yo, this is the biggest star in W. We have to pow-pow you. But, yeah, like, you can't cover this team, dog. Sorry.
Russ, let's do the news.
All right.
Let's just do a quick. We don't have time for all this today. We can get into this more another time. But, Tony, can we just get a quick scoreboard check here between Kendrick Lamar and Drake?
Yeah, I think Kendrick has won this. I think with
you think Drake, it's over.
Yeah, Drake's last Heartbreak 6 track, his last diss track, wasn't really a diss. He was just trying to say, hey, I'm not a pedophile. Please don't call me a pedophile.
It sounds like a concession, but.
But it sounds like a concession.
It also, and there was a line in there, I think, about, you know, like, you're welcome for motivating you or
he's
something.
He's like, oh, yeah. I'm glad I got was able to motivate you, get you out the house. I know your fans love that. Boy,
just trying to bring greatness out of you. Like, it does feel like bowing out. You're right.
Tone, if I said it was a 4-1 route by Kendrick, would you agree with that?
Family Matters was a good song, man.
That's what I'm saying. Family Matters.
Yeah, I like that song.
So for a lot of people, and I believe this, if it's anybody else, Family Matters would have been, you're done. You're done. Family Matters would have gotten 99% of the field out of there. But he allowed Kendrick to, one, step on it. And then Kendrick came back the next day with the heater that people are going to play all summer long. It has the quotables. It has the bounciness to it. You're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah, and also, he painted himself in a corner. Okay, let's believe you did feed him false information. Where is the evidence? Like, you need to have the evidence that you fed him false information. Make a video with the guy that gave out the information, receipts, something. Because now we don't know y'all. So now it's just word of mouth. And his song was better with the information that was presented.
That's my thing, Tone. We don't care whose lies sound better on the record.
All right. They all lying.
You got to imagine somebody's lying in the rap beef.
Yep.
Whose lines are on the banger? Kendrick's.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody's saying, say OV ho all summer.
Mm-hmm.
I bet Kendrick's not done.
I don't think Drake is done.
If this is Drake bowing out, I doubt Kendrick accepts his resignation letter here.
Yeah, no, I think it. We know who the winner is. Records have done it. And I think Kendrick out-rapped Drake, even though Drake did his thing on Family Matters.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Drake is just going to go quietly. While we view it as a concession, because if you heard what Kendrick dropped, you got to come back with like more heat. He didn't. I think he's going to try to come out with like a smash, and it's going to be too late. And also, I just think Kendrick got time. You know, when you find the person that got time, it's like, I've been in the studio. Here goes 12 more. I was waiting for you.
Cool. I was looking for a project.
Yeah, you were on tour for 6 months. I've been waiting to get it off.
Right.
I don't know if it, I think we have the winner, but I don't think they're done, if that makes sense.
Quick check in the NBA, Russ. Rudy Gobert, big week for him this week. He got his fourth defensive player of the year. That's the record. They're up 2-0 on the Nuggets, and his first child was born Monday.
Great week for Rudy.
Yes. He missed game 2 of that series because of the birth of his child, which is very, very surprising. I mean, that is kind of like, that is understandable, but it's very, very rare that these guys, that professional athletes miss a game, especially a playoff game, even for something like that. They a lot of times like will still play the game, or they will miss something like this. I'm glad that he didn't. I'm glad that he has his priorities right in life, and it's okay to miss even a playoff game for something like this. But Gilbert Arenas did not agree with me about this.
And now, Tony Gill reads.
Shout out to Maddie Lee. I always forget that. She voiced that.
Or doing the voiceover?
Yeah. Yes, shout out to Maddie Lee.
I feel like Gilbert Arenas is always talking at all times.
Yes, that's his whole
thing. He's talking right now somewhere.
That's his thing.
Mm-hmm. On a mic.
Yeah. All right. Gilbert Arenas on Rudy Gobert on Gil Arenas podcast. It's a baby, bro. It's going to be there when you get back. Whenever you think you're going to... Whatever you think you're about to do with the baby, he's going to be asleep. End quote.
Shut up, Gil. Like, that's my thing, bro. Like, sometimes, yeah, you talk for a living. We don't care. And I don't think Rudy Gobert is trying to take fatherly advice from Gilbert Arenas, right? Like, didn't Gil get served the papers for child support before a game? Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, nobody's taking fatherly advice from him. And he's got kids. And I think his daughter or his son, one of them, is really good. But nobody's taking advice from Gilbert Arenas about anything, really. He's just not a person to be taken seriously. If you have him as a person that you – he's entertaining, right? Like, I just view him as entertainment at this point. Yeah. But, I mean, if – Rudy Gobert's teammates were cool, and it seemed like they were cool because they went ham on the Denver Nuggets. That boy Ant Edwards is—I don't want to say it, but I might have to say it.
No,
stop. I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it.
He even said, "Can y'all please?" Once he said, "Can y'all please stop doing that?" We got to stop,
man. Please. What? Stop what?
No, we know. I don't know if everyone else.
The Michael Jordan stuff. Is that what you're talking about, Tom?
Yeah, that he's the new Mike. That he's going like
You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing.
No.
You know exactly what you're doing right now.
No, what I'm doing is it's tough to invoke that name on an athlete because now they're held to this standard that they can't really be themselves. But I think the way he's playing and how he's playing and the growth of his game at 22, like he may be the best player in the world in the next year. And I don't think it's close.
Finally, Russ, a few months ago, I think it was, we talked about a man in Philadelphia who had an emotional support alligator. Mm-hmm. And there is news on that story. Joey Henney says that his 5.5-foot pet alligator, Wally, was stolen while they were on vacation together in Georgia.
Okay.
And is now on social media pleading for help to find him. Joey Henney, I mean, it's a weird story. The whole thing is weird because we're starting with a guy with an emotional support alligator, which is not normal, not common. But they were in Brunswick, Georgia, when Henney claims that Wally was stolen out of his outdoor cage by pranksters who then wanted to release the alligator in somebody's yard that they knew, someone's backyard, as a joke. But a lot of times these practical jokes go too far. And when this person sees an alligator in their backyard, they do what any of us would do and they call the authorities. So that person calls animal control. Animal control comes out, traps this alligator in the person's backyard, as they should, and then turns it loose in the wild. So now nobody knows where Wally is. Wally's been released into the population of alligators in Georgia. And I'm guessing has no concept of how to handle that life.
Yeah, I was about to say Wally's
worried about to get smacked around.
He's going to get toe up out there. R.I.P.
What do you think the alligators are calling him?
BBL Drizzy.
Georgia officials confirmed that there was a, quote, nuisance alligator call and that they did catch it and release it, but there's no way for them to know if that was Wally. It appears to have been, probably. Joey Henney says, quote, "We need all the help we can get to bring my baby back," end quote.
See, these are the type of people that you hope fall into the water. Like, that's weirdo behavior. Your baby says it helped rip your face off.
Helped him get through depression. I mean, I just don't. I would imagine there's other animals that could help you with that. I would imagine a dog, a cat, a rabbit, even a hamster, a bird, something other than an alligator.
I saw a video on Instagram 2 days ago of an alligator biting through a turtle shell and killing it. Like, you don't want to mess with that. That's wild.
No, you shouldn't just have one of those.
No,
walking around. That's the news.
We'd like to thank everybody for listening to this week's episode of Sports Adjacent. if you're listening to this, Mother's Day is in 2 days. If you want to get your mama some sheets, they won't come after Mother's Day, but you can do it with our friends from Sheets and Giggles, sheetsgiggles.com/SA to get all the discounts and benefits that we have over there with our good friends at Sheets and Giggles. Tone, make sure you get your mom something nice.
And my wife. She just had my baby.
Oh, yeah. You got to think of that now.
Mm-hmm. You got to do everything first, for this baby.
First Mother's Day with your...
Yeah.
With your daughter and your lady love. That's great.
I have to make sure if my kids don't come through on Mother's Day, it's on me.
Yeah, 100%.
But it's not fair.
Well. Drug. With that, we will catch you guys next week. Get your mama something nice.
Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You adjacent to the mother.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.